Hello and welcome to this episode of Macro Sutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print, and we have with us Radhika Pandey, Associate Professor at NIPFP. And today we're going to be talking about something that affects all of us and our mood. Basically, we're going to be looking at how optimistic the Indian public is in the run-up to the elections. There are a lot of metrics that we're going to look at across employment, inflation, how people feel about employment, inflation, how much debt they have, how they're spending their money or whether they're saving it. All of these things we're going to look at. But before we start, I had an appeal to make before you, which is please subscribe to The Print. It's election time, as I said. We have a lot of reporters on the ground from all over the country. We have reports coming in about the latest political news. Not only that, they're doing deep dives, they're doing interviews. There's a lot going on and you shouldn't miss out. But to bring you all of this, it does cost some amount of money and your contributions go a long way in us bringing you this high quality coverage that we are doing. It also allows us to do discussions like this, analyze a lot of data and provide you with insights. But apart from that, it gives you a lot of benefits as well. Number one, it gives you access to our subscriber exclusive webinars where we call in experts and we talk about various issues of the day. It allows us to write in to us and we publish it as an article in our Your Turn section. And also it gives you access to our newsletters that come straight to your inboxes written by our editors. So you don't want to miss out. Please do subscribe. The link is in the description of this video. But that said, now let's get on with the analysis. First of all, Radhika, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sharad.
So now, Radhika, let's first talk about what all we're looking at to measure something as vague or amorphous as the optimism of the Indian public.
Yeah, so the Reserve Bank of India publishes a series of forward-looking indicators or surveys that could give us some sense of what the consumers or the Indian household is feeling about the state of the economy, about their own income and employment prospects, about what they feel about inflation, employment. So there are a lot of such surveys which are conducted by the Reserve Bank of India and by the government. So we are looking at some of them. For example, we look at the very important survey, which is the Households Inflation Expectation Survey, which is conducted by the RBI every 2 months. And it is one indicator or one survey which is closely looked at by the Monetary Policy Committee also, because we know that we are in an inflation targeting regime. So any communication that the RBI does or the Monetary Policy Committee does, it should be able to anchor the expectations on inflation of households.
Right.
It should be able to align those expectations. So there is this survey that we look at, which tells us what the households are feeling about what is the current level of inflation that they feel is, and what is the expectation about inflation 3 months ahead or 1 year ahead.
That's where the mood part of it comes in.
That's where the mood part comes. Right. So that is one. The other is the, again, an important survey which is conducted by the RBI, which is the Consumer Confidence Survey, which is very important, where it's a survey consisting of both the current position, whether consumers are optimistic about their current position, as well as their expectations about future. And here again, a bunch of variables are looked at, like consumers, what they feel about their income level, what they feel about spending, what they feel about employment, about the inflation level. So a lot of these indicators are looked at. And then we have the PLFS, the Periodic Labor Force Survey, which is conducted by the government. Earlier, it is conducted annually, but now we also have this quarterly bulletin, which gives us timely picture about the state of unemployment, the state of labor force participation rate, and also some insights on the quality of employment, whether it's, you know, salaried class or is it self-employment. So, and now it's become more timely that now we have the survey findings for the December quarter. So that way it is quite timely. And in addition to that, one important thing to look at, as you rightly pointed out, is how households are spending their money. Are their savings enough? Where are they saving? So that also gives us insights into the confidence and the perception of households. So these are four broad indicators that we can look into to gauge the mood of the households.
Right. And we must also first say that this is obviously the economic mood. We are not talking about any non-economic issues that might affect people's mood. I mean, that, of course, there's a lot of discussion on all of those things. This is purely the economic mood. So now let's start with the inflation expectations of households, because that, of course, it's an important metric. It affects people's moods. If they feel that prices are going to rise in the future, then, you know, you feel kind of down. You don't feel as hopeful about things. So what is the data showing?
So this is a very important survey, as I said, and it captures two kind of responses. It captures the quantitative response, that is a number about inflation. So what, as a household or as a housewife or as a professional, what do I feel about the current inflation?
Right.
It may be above or below the headline inflation that is released by the RBI, because this is the perception. So that is one. And the second is, again, as I said, 3 months ahead and 1 year ahead inflation. The other is a set of qualitative responses where people are asked, what do they think that prices are going to increase or prices are going to decrease? If prices are going to increase, are they going to increase more than the current level? So a series of such questions are asked, not only for the general price level, but also for product groups, like for food products, for the various items in the core category, miscellaneous. So whatever is the constituents of the CPI basket, on those products, the consumers or the households are asked, what is their view about whether prices are going to rise or fall? So it is a yes-no answer. It's not a number. So that's we have a quantitative and we have a qualitative response. So on the quantitative, the March survey that came out just 2 weeks back, a week back, in fact, that shows that consumers are, in fact, expecting that inflation will edge down. What they were expecting in the January round, now they are expecting that 3 months ahead and 1 year ahead, inflation will be lower in the March survey as compared to what they expected in the January round. So there is a decline of 20 basis points in their expectation about inflation 3 months ahead and 1 year ahead.
So basically, things are going to get better is what they feel.
They think that consumers think that things are going to get better, both 3 months ahead and 1 year ahead. The other part is the current perception. They feel that, you know, currently the perception is that inflation is around 8%.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So while the headline inflation is somewhere between 5-5.5%, but if you ask households, the median inflation or the midpoint of what they feel is 8%. But again, encouragingly, this has been coming down. So if we see the September round, then we see the next round, we see that their perception about the current inflation level has also come down. So both the 3 months ahead, 1 year ahead, as well as the current perception of inflation has come down, even though it is above the actual headline inflation.
Right. So another way to put that would be that their feeling about current prices is that it's still quite high. It's still a high burden to pay. But it's coming down. It's lower than it was earlier. And looking ahead, they feel that it's going to come down further, over 3 months and over the next year.
So even though, again, the 3 months ahead and 1 year ahead is quite high, it's 9%, 9.8%, but it is coming down as compared to what they expected 2 months back or before that. So the point is that their expectations about inflation is that it's coming down progressively in each survey round, which is conducted at a bi-monthly level.
Okay. And now the other RBI survey, which is how confident are households feeling about the economy, according to the RBI?
So again, here, this is the consumer confidence survey, which is conducted bi-monthly. And it has two constituents. One is, what are they feeling about the current situation? So that is the current situation index. The other is what they expect 1 year ahead. So that is the future expectation index on all those, the same parameters. parameters, like the income level, what they feel currently, right, what they're going to feel 1 year ahead, on employment, on expenditure. And so what we see is that there has been a steady improvement in this confidence index, both the current situation index and the future expectation index. And now it has reached the pre-COVID level. So that was a very, that's a very important development, because this is one index which slumped sharply during COVID time, and it remained quite low because it is a lagging indicator. Consumer sentiments takes time to pick up. But now we see that according to the March round, that consumer sentiments have reached the mid-2019 level. That is the pre-COVID level. Mm-hmm. So both in terms of situation index as well as the current situation index and expectation, there has been an improvement, and it has exceeded the mid-2019 level. And it's a broad-based improvement, both in terms of people feel that their income levels are going to improve, they feel that their employment prospects are going to improve, their spendings are going to increase, and inflation is going to come down. Even though, as both in the expectation, inflation expectation survey as well as this, inflation is still quite elevated, but there is a steady improvement in the expectation about inflation.
Okay, so that again puts the mood somewhat optimistic in the run-up to elections. If they're feeling that, you know, work-wise things are going to get better, and that they are better now than they were earlier, and the same for their spending, and the same for, you know, price levels. This is all, it looks good.
It looks good. If you look at both the RBI inflation expectation survey as well as the consumer confidence survey, things look good. And about inflation expectation survey, even the RBI governor in the statement before the monetary policy review, they have also stressed on this survey, this household inflation expectation survey. Right. And that's a very important indicator, that, as I said, that goes into shaping their decisions around interest rate and on the stance.
Now going from your article, there was some sort of dissonance between the findings of the RBI and the findings of CMI, which did a very similar kind of survey, trying to measure the same things. CMI seems to be saying a different thing.
In fact, in CMI survey also, till December, things were improving, because it's a monthly survey. Like, unlike the RBI survey, which is a bi-monthly survey, this is more timely. And in fact, we can get this series on a daily frequency also.
Okay.
And here we get this distinction between rural and urban. We get distinction across different occupation groups. We can see whether the sentiments of salaried class has improved, or businesses has improved, or farmers have improved, or retired people has improved. So there is a lot of this discussion. But if we look overall, what we see is that till December it was rising, and January, February it declined, the overall index. In March again it improved somewhat, but that improvement, as is, improvement was only driven by the rural households, not the urban households.
Okay.
And within rural also, it is the expectation part that rose rather than the current assessment.
Situation.
So there is this disconnect between what the RBI survey tells us and what the CMI survey tells us. And we need to look into these surveys more deeper and across a longer time span to see whether they tell us the same story or not.
And see how they're measuring things, who they're going and asking.
So there's a lot of things. But the other part also is that we can corroborate the survey findings by looking at other indicators.
Other
we look at, because this is a very important indicator of the demand situation. So if the sentiments are low, that means demand is going to be low. But what we see is that it's rural sentiments are rising, and rural sentiments are also driving owing to expectations, not the present assessment. So that is one thing that the CMI survey tells us, but we need to look at, you know, some more observations to make a definitive assessment.
Which one is right, and
whether we can actually compare these two or not.
Right.
Yeah, but it is good to look at, multiple surveys and then arrive at a conclusion.
And with the CMI data, do we know whether things, at least sentiments, are better than pre-COVID levels?
So they are almost at the same level. It's not okay. that there has been a visible improvement. So because in CMI's survey, when the during COVID, there was a very steep decline. We mm-hmm. don't see such a steep decline with the RBI survey. It was more with the CMI survey.
But both are saying that we have now reached the pre-COVID
yes,
level.
Yes, we are inching up, but there is kind of more volatility in the CMI's numbers right. rather than the RBI's numbers. The RBI's survey tends to suggest that there has been a steady, consistent improvement, or sometimes it is stable, there's no improvement, but we don't see a deceleration. Mm. But here we are seeing a decline also, we are seeing an improvement also, we are seeing a stagnancy also. So we need to see both the indicators, and we need to look at a longer span and also look at a bunch of other indicators to make an assessment.
Right. And now another way to gauge consumer sentiments is to see how what households are doing right. with their money. Are they putting more and more into savings because they're being precautionary? Or are they like, okay, things are looking better, our incomes are doing better, so let's spend a little bit on consumer durables or even things like houses or right. fixed assets yeah. like that. So what is the data showing us?
So first we look at what the data for 2022-23. That's right. the last the recent data that we have from the National Account Statistic. Mm-hmm. When the on 29th February we got the GDP numbers, we also got the first revised estimates for FY23, that is before right. this financial year. So what we see here is, and we've discussed that using the RBI's data also, that net financial savings of household has seen a sharp decline. What is net financial savings? It is the gross financial savings excluding the liabilities, that, you know, that is the extent of saving that households are doing.
Yeah, right.
So that is the net financial savings, and there has been a sharp decline in the net financial savings in FY23. It is only 5.3% of GDP, and it's like a 47-year low, this net financial savings of household.
Right.
But at the same time, physical savings of households has risen, and it's now touched a 10-year high of 13.2% of mm-hmm. GDP. So we are seeing a kind of a shift from financial instruments to physical saving, but at the same time, households' borrowings have increased. Household debt, borrowings is an annual number, and when we say at an outstanding or stock level, it is the debt. So right. household debt has reached 38% of GDP, which is again mm-hmm. quite high, and household borrowings, every year what they borrow, it's again 5.8% of GDP. Again, it's the second highest since we have this data. So there are these concerns about household indebtedness. And if we look into the next year, that is the financial year that just ended, mm-hmm. I think the same trend continues, because if you see, the bank loans are rising at a much sharper pace as compared to deposits. Right. So loans have been rising, and the increase in the loans is primarily driven by personal loans. So that means households are borrowing. They did not just restrict their borrowing to FY23. They are borrowing in FY24. They are borrowing in are likely to borrow in FY25 as well. So borrowings are rising. So personal loan, because personal right. loan is one of the biggest share. It holds it is more than 1/3 of the overall bank credit now. Mm-hmm. And it's from April 23 to March 23, it has increased, and it's rising. It's galloping at 28 to 30% every month. So we expect that household indebtedness will remain elevated in the coming year as well. And at the same time, the unsecured part will decline, because we know that RBI has introduced a number of right. measures to clamp down on unsecured lending. So that will see a decline, but personal loans as a component will see only a very gradual decline in FY25. It's still likely to remain elevated.
Okay, so now high levels of indebtedness, we can tell like this is not going to be great for anybody's mood.
Yes.
Nobody wants huge loans to pay right. back and all of that. But how do we reconcile this trend that, you know, more people are putting more of their money from financial savings to physical savings? What right. can that tell us about the mood of people?
Yeah, so it's, again, there is this tendency to own a home, mm-hmm. and the fact that interest rates have not risen very sharply, they are still more stable, and overall they are lower than the pre-COVID level, and there is this increase in demand from non-resident Indians, and also people who are working at the global capability centers. So there is an increase in income. So there is an increase in demand for housing, which is again giving us some sense of optimism that people right. are buying houses, and that is not something which is a, you know, a short term driven spurt in housing. It is something which has continued in 2022 calendar year, 23 calendar year, and 24 calendar year, also the first quarter of the calendar year that we saw. Again, housing sales have been rising. So it is a combination of a number of factors. Firstly, that the bottleneck of unsold inventories is coming down. The regulatory improvements, the RERA, which was introduced by government, that is playing a role. Interest rates not rising at a very sharp level is playing a role. There is an increase in demand for housing, given that fixed deposits are not giving a huge interest rate. So that is one important factor. Within financial also, we see again compositional shift, because the share of stock market has quadrupled.
Right.
So that is important. But again, its share is very small. It still needs to pick up over some time. But we do see this shift from financial to physical sales. But the thing to watch out for is the household indebtedness.
Right. And of course, it's when you make a commitment to buy a house, you're paying these EMIs sometimes for 15, 20 years.
Right.
So it does, of course, tell you a little bit about people's confidence about their future income right. potential and all of that. So that's good news. Now, but relating to this, Gautam has a question. He asks, with the recent data, we have seen that household savings are at a low. He means, I guess, financial savings, and debt is at a high. With high inflation and unemployment, do you see it turning into a disaster with huge household defaults and further stress on the common man?
So we don't see defaults happening as of now, because RBI has already taken preemptive measures to prevent the spurt in unsecured lending, which has been rising till now. Because you
very
know, if
sharply.
We look at very sharply, yes. Mm-hmm. If we look at things like the credit card exposure, that is rising very sharply, right. and there has been an increase in unsecured lending. But I think now, in the recent data, we do see that personal loans growth has tapered off a bit, and it's expected to again, ease in the coming months, because there have been a series of regulatory restrictions to limit unsecured lending through increase in risk weights, and also through a number of other measures, like, you know, the kind of co-lending, algorithmic lending, all those new forms of lending, RBI has put some restrictions on right. that. So we should see unsecured lending coming down, and only secured lending, where people do have the capacity to pay, that kind of loans are encouraged, because neither the banks would want their NPAs to rise. Mm-hmm. Earlier, NPAs were due to corporate defaults. They would not want now that the household defaults leading to a spurt in NPAs,
right.
given that banks' balance sheets are in a good position. So I think both the regulator and banks are taking a cautious approach, and which should see a decline. We should not see a spurt in household debt default level. But generally, this trend of rise in physical saving, decline in financial savings, increase in household liability, this is something to be watched out for. But something, if there is a secured lending, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. If people want to buy a house, they are taking advantage of a stable interest rate regime, it's good for them. That is their personal choice. What is important is to see that household debt should not lead to a spurt in NPAs and a rise in the defaults.
So now, the final question I have is perhaps on the most important thing that can affect a person's mood, which is the unemployment and employment situation in the country.
Yes.
So what is the data showing? Is the unemployment rate coming down, and are people finding better quality jobs?
Yeah. So again, these are two separate questions. Mm-hmm. One is the whether unemployment rate has come down. Yes, it has come down. And we look at the periodic labor force survey report. The
right.
most recent report, which was released last month for the calendar year January to December last year, 2023. And there we see that the unemployment rate has come down from 3.6% in 2022 to 3.1% in 2023. So that is a good news. The other important highlight is that the labor force participation rate has also picked up.
Okay.
So it means that what is labor force participation rate? That people are looking for work, they are willing to work, they are available for work as well, because there was a period period where we saw a decline in the labor force participation rate. And that is a very clear indication of loss of confidence, where people are not even willing to work. They're not even available for work, given that they won't find employment opportunities. Mm. So that is one thing that has picked up. And particularly the female labor force participation rate has picked up. Okay. Though there is still a big gap between male and female labor force participation rate to the extent of 35 percentage points, but still there has been a consistent improvement in the female labor force participation rate. So that is the good news. So on the, if we look at the headline employment numbers, they look good, but the bad news starts when we start looking deeper into the quality of employment. Mm-hmm. We look at the nature of employment, and there we can look at the quarterly bulletin, which comes in February we had the quarterly bulletin, and that shows that from October December quarter of 2022 to 23, we have seen that the share of regular salaried wages has remained stagnant, and the share of self-employed has increased. And that is something that we saw in the 2022 survey as well, that there has been this concern around the rise in the share of self-employed and a stagnancy or a decline in the share of regular salaried wage. So that is something to worry about. But mm-hmm. overall headline numbers look good, but this is something to worry about. And again, in this we see that it's the share of females in the self-employed has risen. Yeah. So and then again, there are reports, we can look deeper, you know, we get data caste wise, we get occupation wise, agriculture, industry, services. So it's a very insightful report to gauge a sense of the confidence. But yes, this is something that is a cause of concern, that the share of self-employed has been rising over consistent reports.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, overall, mostly we can see that people seem to be quite confident about their situation right now and about the situation, economic situation, improving in the near future. Whether it is inflation or it is the job situation, income levels, or, you know, the amount that they're going to spend. All of this, people seem to be feeling better about their lives right now, and they feel that going ahead, things are only going to get better. There are, of course, several signs of concern. One is that the unemployment level, even though it's coming down, the quality of employment is posing an issue. A lot of it seems to be self-employment, which, as we know, it comes with lower income levels. It doesn't come with so much social security. It's not the best kind of employment that you'd want. You'd want people to be in the formal employment setup. And the other issue is that the debt levels of households seems to be elevated. And even though the unsecured loan component is likely to go down because RBI has taken steps, still elevated loan levels, debt levels of households, it's something to keep an eye on. It's not great news, and people don't like generally to have lots of, you know, debt as a burden. So that could be a mood dampener. But overall, it seems that people are pretty optimistic.